Welcome back to Channel 9 Live. Hopefully you really enjoyed that last session. I'm joined for this Channel 9 Live session, though, by Brad McCabe from the Windows team. Brad, you've been hanging out on the Windows stand, showing people some interesting stuff. What kind of things have they been looking at on the Windows stand?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of good fun going on over there. We've got a pretty large device bar where a lot of the attendees checking out tablets, some of the latest phones, laptops, all-in-ones. Got a nice little theater, lots of different sessions going on there. People seem to be packing in and really enjoying that as well. You know, lots of experts to talk to about all different areas of Windows.
Yeah, I think it's really important that actually we've got people there from not just Windows, as you might think of it as just the desktop or what you'd run on your laptop or what you might run on your tablet. But we've got Windows Phone there as well, because we're in this new world where actually it's not just about the device that you're sat there in front of you, your laptop. It's the phone that's in your pocket as well. They're all part of the same ecosystem that one person uses, and so they're all equally important devices that get you productive. I guess as well, if we start to think about how we look at, there's lots of guys here from MMS, if we start to think about how we manage those kind of devices, that's kind of an interesting space at the moment.
Yeah, so I mean, you hit it exactly, right? There's a shared kernel, a lot of shared code, whether it's Windows, Windows Phone, even Xbox as well there. So
yeah, we're at something like 90-odd% overlap now, aren't we, with APIs across all the platforms. So
right, with Universal Apps, for example, you can write that app, 90%+ of your code going from your phone to your laptop, your desktop, your tablet, even out to your Xbox. So, you know, now you can have those great line of business apps on your phone, on your laptop, or even if you need to interrupt your gaming on the Xbox One to get a little work done.
Yep.
Sadly, you can pause your game and be productive.
It was actually quite funny. In the keynote yesterday, Matt McSpirit actually did say that he was managing his Azure VMs using his Xbox One, which is kind of interesting. I think that's kind of nice that you can, you know, you get maybe get an alert, you have to go and answer something, you're playing some Xbox, you can go and use Kinect to browse the web, do a little bit of changes to your Azure machines, and off you go again, carrying on. It's kind of neat that we have that crossover, but also really important for enterprise developers to understand that we have that level of crossover. And I guess from an IT pro's point of view as well, that amount of complete crossover with what you can do inside of a universal app really matters, because why would you pick a different platform?
Exactly, right? So it makes it easy for your developer to take your code, reuse that, not have different code bases you have to worry about, reuse a lot of that battle-tested code. But you see that convergence happening in a lot of other places as well. So if I'm an IT professional and I'm familiar with managing Windows devices, now managing tablets, I'm familiar with doing that. As I start to think about technologies like MDM, it's very easy to manage things like Windows Phone as well. So just trying to help you with all of these different devices that are out there and really bring them into one central view, whether it's development, management, or even as a user, just having that familiar experience when I go from device to device.
Yeah, and it's absolutely right. As an IT admin, you also want a familiar experience, because we've got some solutions, ConfigMan, Intune, when they work together, they give you this single pane of glass which looks across your entire environment if you want that. So you've got that. We often talk about an end user having a consistent experience. We don't very often talk about IT having a consistent experience, but it's just as important. And we also see that consistent experience, when I think about it, coming in other areas, places like deployment.
Right.
You've got the same method of deploying Windows 8.1 as you do for deploying Windows 7.
Right. And that's really important for a lot of IT pros, right? Because I've just done all of this work, right? I've gone from Windows XP to Windows 7. I've got that broad across my organization. But now as I start to think about things, right, the world is changing and I'm getting these new mobility demands. I've got users that want tablets to come into my organization, right? I've got phones and other things coming in. So I've got to think about how to deal with all these things. And with Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, they can coexist inside your enterprise with Windows 7, right? So I can have all of my machines on Windows 7 and I can start bringing Windows 8 in to meet my tablet needs. And things that I'm familiar with, like System Center, I can leverage. Things that I'm familiar with, like MDT, I can leverage all of that knowledge to bring in these new things without doubling my workload.
Yeah, and that's the other thing as well. We've got these new devices coming in. And as you say, you don't need to necessarily reinvent the wheel just to be able to bring them in and use them. But we are seeing loads and loads and loads of customers just bringing them in to be able to do these new workloads, essentially, where people want to be able to take a tablet on the road, touch the screen, because it's the most interesting way of using that device in that situation.
Exactly. And we see a lot of customers kind of growing out this way, right? So if you take a look at some customers, they'll bring the devices in first for mobility, for their tablet needs, for example. Then they'll solve those problems or solve those particular challenges that they brought them in for. And then they'll start to look at the natural hardware refresh. And they'll look at replacing some laptops, for example, with 2-in-1s, just to enable new scenarios there. And so they've still got a lot of Windows 7, but now they've got these Windows 8.1 tablets. Now they have these Windows 8.1 2-in-1s for another group. So they really live well side by side. But it grows very organically through the organization, as opposed to going out like we did with XP to 7, where we, basically back the forklift up, raise up a pallet of machines and drive them out, drop them out, hand them out to everyone, and, replace.
I actually had to do one or two of those migrations myself, moving up onto Windows XP, or even moving off of XP and onto 7. Right. And you're right. You'd go off to your favorite laptop or desktop vendor. They would send you a bunch of machines on a pallet, which you'd then have arranged. Then you'd get your build factory to go and prop those machines out, put the final images on there, do any tweaking. Normally quite a lot of manual tweaking when it was a Windows XP machine. And then they would eventually end up on the desktop. And we've managed to cut that down with the new deployment technologies.
Exactly. I mean, if you love the forklift, I'm sorry, it's kind of time to park the forklift.
Yeah.
And to start thinking about, modern ways to do it, right? And some of that could be through natural refresh cycles. Some of that, like we see from, say, Windows 8 to Windows 8.1 to the 8.1 update, can be in-place upgrades, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to go out and wipe that entire machine and reload all of the apps and all of the user data. I can just upgrade everything right in place.
Yeah, and that's kind of the model that people are beginning to expect, isn't it? If we think about all of those devices that folks have out there now, you don't expect to have to, I need to replace this device. I'm going to have to back all my data up. I'm going to have to then go and reinstall the operating system, format the disk, then put it all back on. You just go, update.
Right. And we see a lot of this happening in the wild, too, right? This isn't just, us sitting in Redmond kind of dreaming, right? If you look at a lot of different customers out there, right, BT is a great example. They still have a pretty diverse set of machines inside the organization. But for their field workers, right, the guys that are actually out in the field dealing with the telecom network and the services going into customers' houses, they gave them a ruggedized tablet.
Yeah.
They've now rolled out north of 10,000 of those tablets to there. And then, they start, like a lot of other customers, to start to look and say, well, now that we've built this muscle solving this problem, where else can we leverage that, right? And you'll see some other examples, even in like education.
Yeah.
Here we are in Houston. The Clear Creek ISD, the school district, not far from here with Johnson Space Center and such, has rolled out 30,000 Dell Latitude tablets to their students and their faculty and others.
Wow.
Not too far down the street, the Dallas ISD, one of the largest ones in the United States, rolling out Surface devices within their district, right? Solving those challenges,
yep,
right, where they need to.
And I guess one of the things that's really important for schools as well is trying to reduce the cost of those devices. And I know we've done a bunch of work in Windows 8.1 in the update to actually make that way better.
Right.
One of those things is probably the geekiest thing that's in the update, which I think is WinBoot.
And yes,
you've explained this to me once. I can't remember how WinBoot works. Can you just give me a very quick explanation of what WinBoot is?
With the WinBoot technology, we change the way we have the machine load. So what it really means to the end user is that we can get the hardware requirements on that machine down to requiring a minimum of 1 gig of RAM and a 16 gig hard drive. Still having free space on the hard drive for you to do things, still making a useful device, and still having great performance even with 1 gig of RAM.
Yeah.
Right. So as you reduce that hardware requirements of RAM and hard drive, you know, you help drive the price of hardware over time even lower. And, you know, we continue to focus on performance. We continue to work there with every release we do to make sure that we innovate and we really push that forward to help drive those price points.
Essentially, what we've actually done there with WinBoot is we've made it so that you can boot from the compressed WIM file.
Exactly.
Yeah, it really is, I guess, what it says on the tin. I keep trying to overcomplicate it in my mind and think that it's something more than it actually is, but it's incredible. I mean, it really does give you a great space saving off the bat. I've used it on my Venue Pro, my Dell Venue Pro 8, and it's really reduced down the amount of storage space that I've increased the amount of storage space that I have available for my movies, my videos, all that kind of stuff. It's neat.
And for IT pros, I mean, we love the technology and we love, you know, the intricacies of how it works, but the beautiful thing about it is for a user, it's completely invisible, right? They don't have to understand WinBoot versus, you know, any other type of technology there. Simply, wow, my machine has more free space, even though it's got a smaller hard drive, right? It's just that very simple end-user value with no complications on their part that is the real payoff here.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that breadth of devices that we get as well really does make things more simple for an end-user as well, because you can get a device which runs Windows, which is exactly what you need for what you're doing. And there's certain options that we can employ there, like assigned access mode to kind of reduce down what can be done if you need a point solution for something. You can take it a step further. You can go with something like embedded industry, which we announced recently, which allows you to be really, really granular about what's happening. So we've got this breadth of devices. And yet, the one thing that remains true across that whole thing is management. We've got the OMA DM management in Windows.
Exactly, right. You've got that consistency with management. You've got that familiarity from an end user point of view as I move across all of those machines. You know, while one might be locked down with something like Windows Embedded Industry Edition, it still feels like Windows, right? And I could have a desktop that's set up with boot to desktop for the user, right? But it still feels like Windows. I could have a tablet that boots directly to the start screen. And while they're different, they still feel very similar and natural to move. Just like from the IT pro side, as I move between them with management, right, it's that single pane of glass that I can get with something like System Center or Intune, or I could extend with third-party MDM providers if I already have some of those in-house, right? But that single pane of glass from a management perspective. And we really see this resonating with a lot of customers, right? We talked a little bit about BT. Right, BT has actually taken it one step farther, like a lot of customers are starting to look at, which is, right, they looked at these Windows tablets that we talked about for their mobility needs. Now they're looking at 5,000 Windows Phone devices to complement them, right? Because that consistency and that familiarity of user experience, that consistency and familiarity of management experience, right, that universal apps from the developer point of view. If you really think to the keynote yesterday, Brad talked about the IT pro, the developer, and the end user.
Yeah.
Right? And if you look across that arc with the range of Windows, whether it's tablets or phones or laptops, right, you have that familiarity and that consistency across those three groups.
And I think for me as well, as a management guy, one of the things that actually matters is across Windows now, just like across other operating systems, we haven't just gone away and done this entirely in isolation. We're using standards-based management. The agent's part of the operating system. Don't have to manage deployment of an agent to be able to manage the machine going forward. So that makes such a big, big difference. And it is exactly the same management agent, the same kind of APIs are in place to manage across Windows, Windows Phone, and other platforms that are out there.
Right, and the nice thing about, you know, being OMA DM based and being standards based, right, means that you really have a lot of flexibility in the tools you can choose, right? We think System Center and Intune are great solutions, but if there's a customer that has other solutions in play, that's okay, right? It's open. It's standards based, and they can use that as they need to.
It's one of the ways that I always think of what we do at Microsoft is like a variety of pros. It's like a big toolbox.
Exactly.
And just because your toolbox is branded with one brand and your hammer is another brand, it doesn't mean that your screwdriver has to be exactly the same brand as those two. It can be something completely different, and they're all just going to work together. it's, you know, you've got a universal screw out there and a universal nail, and they're all just going to work together, which is kind of cool, really. It's a nice approach.
No, I completely agree with you. You know, and on those things, right, there's lots of different brands of tools you can have in the toolbox. I mean, I personally think that we have the best hammer and the best screwdriver, but that's not always true for everyone. There are different situations out there, and that's kind of the beauty, right? You mm-hmm. can take the pieces that make sense, or you can take the entire toolbox as one collection and really adjust as you need to.
Yeah, and one of the things that I, while we're talking about Windows Phone, one of the pieces of that toolbox that I really like, and it's not necessarily an IT Pro thing, this is an end user thing. I'm a big fan of my Cortana, and it was really quite funny to watch Brad Anderson using my own personal assistant. It was kind of weird. I wasn't expecting him to be using my personal assistant. But that was a really interesting demo. There's some real like nuance in what was happening there, and Cortana does some really neat stuff.
Yeah, I love Cortana. I've actually taken my phone, just like anyone can do, and go out and get the developer preview off of TechNet and take and update their phone. That's what I've done to mine. So I've already got Cortana there running. And it's great, some of the things you can do, right? Like, if I want to remember something, Cortana learns a lot of my places. She learns a lot of things about me as I continue to use her, mm-hmm. all when I'm giving her permission, right?
Yeah.
She's not that creepy little person kind of doing these things over your shoulder,
yeah.
right? She tells you and you give her permission, but as she learns these things, right, she's learned where my home is. She's learned where I work. So she knows a lot of things naturally. So I can say, Cortana, remind me to cook dinner when I get home. And as soon as I get home, she knows where that is. But even if she hasn't fully learned something, like if I wanted to say to her, you know, Cortana, remind me to buy souvenirs for my family when I leave the hotel. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know in particular that I'm staying right next door at the Hilton. But she knows from my GPS where I am. She understands the hotel word, and with the power of Bing, she takes those two and she says, gives me a list and says, well, which hotel do you mean? And that's going to be prioritized. She's going to say, well, probably at the top of that list is going to be the Hilton right next door. And I can say, yep, that's it. I don't have to know the address. I don't have to teach it, mm-hmm. right? She just learns these things or implies these things.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about that is that other personal assistants are available, and they don't necessarily have that level of intelligence around quite what you mean. You have to say, I'm at the at this particular address, what's the nearest there?
Right.
And it's that extra level of step that you have to go through when you're doing all of that.
Right. When I'm in Seattle, for example, I say, Cortana, what's the traffic look like to the airport? Mm-hmm. And she's smart enough to realize, well, you probably mean SeaTac because I don't think you're driving to another one,
yeah.
right? And so she can give me the traffic, which in Seattle is a question you need to ask frequently when going to the airport. Now here I am in Houston, and I can just say to her when I'm ready to leave, right, Cortana, what's the traffic look like to the airport? She's not going to tell me it's going to take 30 hours to drive to SeaTac. You know, she's going to tell me what it'll take to get to the airport here.
Although I don't know whether you've seen the weather forecast today, actually, outside there. It might actually take you 30 hours to get to the airport in Houston at the moment.
Yes.
It is pretty bad.
I'm thankful I'm not leaving today.
yeah, very much so. We've got a question come in from Claudio. Do the memory management improvements in Windows 8.1 update apply to deployments on old Windows XP machines? I'm guessing the answer to that is no.
No, because they're in Windows 8.1, so they're not going to apply to machines running XP.
Yeah.
Now, if that machine running XP meets all of the hardware requirements and such, and you can run Windows 8.1 on it, then yes, it will. All of those features will work on that same hardware, mm-hmm. right? It's kind of hard to give a blanket answer,
yeah.
but you know, so many machines have been bought, in the if you call it the Windows 7 era since that came out, right? And so most of those machines will run Windows 8, and now Windows 8.1. Great. In fact, in many cases, better than Windows 7 on the same hardware. So if you've got one of those machines, you're running XP, then yeah, you can take advantage of all the great features just by upgrading.
So we've talked about Windows 8.1. We've talked about Windows Phone 8.1. What are some of the other cool features that we think that people actually should be spending some of their time going to some of the sessions and really kind of digging into around this, I guess? Maybe a little bit around some of the security features, that kind of stuff, I guess?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of goodness in both of them. If I grouped them at a high level, right, there's management. One of the things we spent a lot of time doing and working on with Windows 8.1 on the phone was around the management. So there's a lot you can do with the MDM stack, pushing down, doing things like configuring the VPN, provisioning certificates, a lot of power and functionality there. A lot of work on security just across the board. So there's a lot of really good sessions here at TechEd around security, malware, all kinds of different topics there.
Yeah, I think there's one of the things that I was talking about with Chris Hallam actually the other day was around the way that we've changed BitLocker. So modern devices and the fact that you might not actually need to be using a pre-provisioned PIN. Sorry, a pre-authentication. Yeah, let's get this right. Pre-boot PIN.
Pre-boot authentication.
Yeah, pre-boot auth PIN in order to be able to start up a device, because we've got these new devices that use the UEFI BIOS, and that, or rather, the UEFI. It's not a BIOS, but that actually gives you the ability to know that the operating system is trusted, because
right.
We have some options in place there, like trusted boot.
Right, and we see that with a lot of customers in terms of thinking about what they're going to do. Right, and looking at, well, should I stay on Windows 7 on this machine? Maybe I should start to think about Windows 8 or Windows 8.1. For some customers, those security features are the difference for them, right? So some of the things you were talking about, like with the pre-boot auth, but also things like trusted boot, right? The ability to make sure that the machine is loading with a signed valid operating system, which really helps to cut down on whole classes of malware and attack vectors. Right, some of the things that Windows 8.1 does, and I know Chris has like 4 or 5 sessions where he'll spend 75 minutes going into each one of these areas in great detail. But the whole ability to watch everything. So even though I know it's a signed valid operating system, to keep track of everything that's happening to make sure that maybe something else hasn't been attacked downstream, and then some of the things to do to help prevent malware and to help prevent the spread. So I'd really encourage people to check out a lot of those security sessions, as well as a lot of the Windows Phone sessions, right? It's kind of interesting. This is my phone here, right? This is
it's
my
nice color.
Yes, I'm a fan of red, but the Nokia 1520, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love the phone with its 6-inch display here, but really, this is the only machine I brought with me here to Houston, right? Because I've got Phone 8.1 on here.
Yeah.
I've joined it to the Microsoft Workplace. So Microsoft IT has pushed down the VPN clients. They've configured my mail on here, right? So I haven't found with this something that traveling around the show here that I haven't been able to do.
And you've got your full office on there as well. You've got
exactly.
Your OneNote in case you need to be able to go and make some notes and things. You can go and edit any documents. You can even run a PowerPoint presentation directly from your phone if you need to, because in Phone 8.1, we actually opened up the ability to do broadcasting through your USB port, which
exactly.
Is pretty awesome.
I've done that as well, and with some of the newer hardware as well, the phone will also support Miracast. So even if I don't want to plug a cable in, if I've got hardware that'll support it, I can just wirelessly, sit here, connect up to this display, and not even be controlling my PowerPoint, be actually running my PowerPoint right from here and driving it there, or, connecting to here and showing something else off from the phone.
That would have been an awesome demo if we'd have thought about that in advance and actually had that set up. That would have been really cool. There's some of the other nice features as well that I really really love. I was wandering around some of the show floor here, and I noticed that some of our MDM friends have actually got some really cool kind of our USB friends like Spyrus are over there.
Yes, with the Windows2Go sticks.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've also got iMation out there.
Yes.
Both of them have these really nice approaches where there's encryption, hardware encryption on the stick, which gives us that ability to be able to take those devices, plug them into a machine, and keep them really secure. All the time, at rest, and also be secure through the Windows operating system itself while that machine's actually running, which is very cool.
Yeah, and Windows2Go is one of my personal favorite things mm-hmm. that came out with Windows 8 and has continued to progress as well. right? And it's really nice at a show like this. If I think back to even TechEd last year or the year before, we were spending a whole lot of time just explaining and teaching to people, right, that, hey, you can have your entire operating system completely customized with your corporate image and everything right on this USB. And you can put that USB in any machine, you can boot it up, and you know, away you go. And so we spent a lot of time having those conversations. Whereas this year, right, a lot of the conversations, it's great because people are coming up and they've started to embrace Windows to Go. They've started to understand it. And I've really enjoyed some of the great conversations as people are really starting to think about these real world solutions and how to take this great technology and just make it real.
Yeah, it's amazing when you get to that kind of little way in after you've introduced it point, the conversation moves up and actually becomes so much of a more deeper technical conversation within just that 12 months because people have had that time to really pick at it and understand how the technology works.
Yeah,
Brad, thanks very much for joining me on stage. We are going to bring out Ben Hunter, and you've got to go off and do some press work. So thanks very much for joining us.
Sounds good.
And,
thanks for having me.
We will be back after, a very short break. Welcome back. We have magically swapped out Mr. McCabe for Mr. Hunter. Welcome
Thank
to
you.
The Channel 9 stage. You've been off walking around, talking to folks around this place, around the thing that you do, which is looking after the IT pro community for Windows.
Yeah. I've been running sessions here. We ran a deployment pre-day where we talked about deployment and deploying Windows. And there's been lots of conversations here about the type of content people want to see and about deploying Windows in general and how they deploy Windows.
Well, that's right. You used to be a deployment guy.
Yeah. That's my background. Yeah. I guess I have a bias there. Whenever people ask a question, I turn it back to the deployment.
But to be honest, it's a pretty good place to start because everything does start off with the deployment of Windows. If you get that bit right, then life becomes a lot easier.
Exactly.
And that's kind of cool because a lot of the resources that you've been creating and also getting the community to create have been around deployment because we really want to help people move on.
Yeah, we've just started working with a bunch of great MVPs, Johan Arwidmark and Mike Nystrom, and they've been building some content for us. We've got some great content on, if you go to technet.com/Windows, we have a bunch of great content up there. We've built a whole new bunch of deployment content that was released yesterday. This is full next step guidance, but real world guidance. We don't want to put out that guidance out there anymore, where you'll find often on our previous kind of guides, which is, here's a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Go deploy with that. We don't really tell you how. We don't say, this is what we recommend. So now we're taking a completely different tack, and we say, for example, if you're going to create your perfect Windows 8 reference image, use MDT. And then we show you just how to do it. So we show you on TechNet, traditional TechNet with the documents. We have created some Microsoft Virtual Academy sessions. I don't know if you guys know about Virtual Academy.
Yep, that's,
this is awesome. I don't know if you can
show
that. It
is. Yeah, I've got the MVA up here. It's a fabulous resource for being able to go through, like, all this stuff. We've been recording a ton of sessions around the all the Windows content there. Let's just navigate through to the Windows stuff. Obviously, everybody now knows about my taxpayer already. But then you can dive through there. We've got the Windows jump starts. We've got the line of business app deployment. We've got stuff for small business. We've got stuff for enterprise. We've got XP to Windows 8.
The jump start's a good example. So we created a jump start that matches that content that's on TechNet. So you can watch that jump start. You get an idea. We show you how to create an image. We introduce you to Windows 8.1 and all the features related to deployment for the IT pro who's actually got to make this thing work. We show you how to deploy it with MDT and with Config Manager. And those are 4 50-minute long sessions.
Yeah.
That will give you a good background, real-world guidance. And then we've created some other things. We've created some TechNet virtual labs, which are labs of what we showed you on that show. So if you're watching it, you're watching the Jumpstart, you think I'd like to give that a go, you jump on the TechNet virtual labs.
Yep, easy to spin up. You can get on there. You can start to actually get hands-on with things. Much like if you're at TechEd, you might go along to the ILLs or along to the hands-on labs here. It's actually running on the same. It is the same. It's running the same infrastructure.
There's not us there presenting to you, but there kind of is us presenting to you. We present to you via the Jumpstart. You watch those videos. That's us presenting to you. And then afterwards, you can go and do those virtual labs, or you could do it while you're watching it. So it's kind of an ILL.
Yeah.
You kind of get the expertise.
It's kind of there. You get the experts there talking to you first. Well, you occasionally get me. But you get the experts talking to you first about how
this
works together.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a really cool course coming up. I was just talking with Brad about the the phone and the MDM capability.
Yeah.
We got some awesome folks in, didn't we, to talk about this. Some guys that that I think actually our IT pros out there are really going to appreciate.
These well, they're our PFEs, aren't they?
Yeah, these are the guys that you call when everything goes horribly wrong. You actually put a call into these guys, and these are the guys that fix it.
And we're trying to make this content that it's deep.
Yeah.
Content that will actually help you do the job from people who are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not from somebody who's not ever been out there and not doing it. It really is those who are doing it. So.
Yeah, and this is and what we mean by deep there, I guess, is actually, you know what? We are, we're looking at MDM management through using XML files, using those to work with the URIs. So the content's becoming really nice, really deep, really cool.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're here. We've talked about Windows Phone. Everybody knows about that developer preview that's out there.
Yes.
But you've got something else that you want to tell people about.
Yeah, we actually leverage the developer preview. So we've created what we call the enterprise preview. And it leverages that same content. So you can go on, you can log into the app developer portal and get a free access to the bits and then update your phones. But then cool. You might want to run your own little POC. So if you're an IT pro, you want to test and see how this runs in your business. What we've done is pulled together the enterprise preview, and it gives you all the content that an IT pro would want. And then at the bottom here, we're building this up at the moment, there's a series of step-by-step guides that will lead you through the process of running a basic POC. We've got more coming in the coming month. There'll be little videos that go with it that show you the steps, as well as really good guidance. So it's about driving your own POC. If you want to do that in your business and you want to try Windows Phone, everyone, I heard you talking about Cortana with Brad before.
Yeah.
Cortana's cool, but you've got to manage it in your business.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
So you need this baseline of MDM, the management, the VPN, all that kind of functionality, and we'll show you how to do that.
Yeah, you really need to be able to. There might be some times where you want to turn off, maybe not Siri, Cortana, but maybe some other ones. You might actually want to be able to turn off that functionality because you might have that. Might not have that level of comfortability yet about actually using what data is going up to the cloud. Of course, you could just open up Fiddler and look at your network connection.
Yeah.
that would be one option. And just see exactly what's being uploaded, what's being downloaded to get real kind of understanding on that. But not everybody out there is going to want to do that. So
exactly.
It might just be easier to turn off virtual assistants if that's what you need.
Yep.
Can be very useful. Turn off voice dialing.
So I wanted to point out to everyone where you can find out when we do this, because you could keep going back and just looking at the MVA page or the TechNet Virtual Labs.
Yeah.
I recommend, we've got the blog here. It's the Springboard Series blog. So if you search for Springboard Series blog, you'll find it.
Yeah.
That's where I post all the new content that we have. If you follow the MS Springboard account on Twitter, we also post it there. You probably want to follow MVA as well and follow Simon, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
but the content will be there, and we've got a whole bunch of new stuff planned. This deployment content is just the start. We're building planning content, more app compact content, a whole bunch of stuff, much more phone content. So all aimed at IT pros.
That's probably really, really useful is if folks out there actually tell us what the content is that they want us to actually build.
Yeah.
What kind of guidance do you want us to put together and create? So really kind of useful. Ben, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thanks, Simon.
Very, very cool to see you. I'll be catching you a little bit later on.
Yeah. I hope you guys love the stuff we're creating. If not, just give us feedback. MS Springboard.
Yep, just keep us honest.
Yeah.
Thanks very much
Thank
for watching.
Thank you very much.